Indoor and outdoor concerts are not mutually exclusive, but I don't often peruse outdoor concerts and therefore have less fodder to make adept observations about the behavior of Homo sapiens at said outdoor venues versus indoor venues. Therefore, my following cerebration will focus on the poorly lighted, often hot and smelly circumstances of the contained building setting of a musical performance. Part 1, Preparation Before You Leave Your Homestead, Section A, What to Eat. Attending concerts that are not choirs or symphony orchestras do not require much bodily movement or strain. Unless maybe you are attending a Trans-Siberian Orchestra concert, they're notorious for their light shows and synchronized pyrotechnics. However, at most other concerts, there will most likely be some movement of the physical body, ranging from slight swaying to a convulsive double Dutch jump rope movement with a vigorous head bob. In preparation for this physical exertion, one must eat correctly beforehand. For correct eating habits, I've consulted a Health Today article on evening workout eating preparation. To fill the hunger gap before dinner, snack on mixed fruit and yogurt with nuts or a non-fat latte and a trail mix granola bar. For dinner, stir-fry shrimp and brown rice or a sweet potato and broccoli will suffice. Eat dinner 3 to 4 hours before the event and eat less food the closer it gets to go time. Avoid spicy foods and broccoli, which doesn't make sense because they said to eat broccoli with a sweet potato before, which makes me feel like Health Today should not be trusted. Part 1, Section B, Clothing. Now that you have sufficiently completed digesting your stir-fry shrimp, it is time to consider what articles of clothing you should put on your body. Consider the time of the year and mode of transportation to the venue. I do not pity you if you wore leggings masquerading as pants when we have to park 5 blocks away and hurdle snow mountains only to get to a venue without heating. Put on some freaking pants, okay? Also, I don't want to babysit your fluffy hot with 2 T's pink Antarctica parka because you didn't remember again that this place goes from 40 degrees to 120 degrees once the show starts because the contractors must have forgotten to install air circulation vents. And all I'm going to say about shoes is, do you really think those 3-inch heels are going to feel good after standing in them on cement for 4 hours? I didn't think so. Part 1, Section C, Personal Aromas. Often forgotten, paying attention to personal scents is important not for you, but for your friends and the people who happen to come within 10 feet of you to make them feel more comfortable when listening to the music. Now there's 2 directions to go when creating a personal bouquet, masking horrifying odors, and upping the ante with spice. If you know you smell when sweating, or maybe you haven't showered in a few days, please, please, please consider lathering on some deodorant. And if you're going to wear perfume or cologne, please, please, please take a shower using water rather than your favorite smell. Part 2, the concert. Section A, arrival timing. Before you arrive, it's good to find out if and who the opening act is going to be and whether or not you like them. There's no shame in arriving in time to enjoy the musical creations of an opening act. Timing doesn't really matter if you bring at least one friend or acquaintance to the concert. It's often awkward if you are alone. However, this social intimidation doesn't affect everyone, so whatever floats your boat will work. Part 2, Section B, decision time. It's now time to decide at which location in the vicinity you would like to enjoy the concert from. Directly in front of the stage is reserved for those who head bop the most, like to grope the feet of performers, and also like to get spit on. The advantage to this spot is occasional eye contact with performers and candy being thrown on you, although this is rare and I have only seen it once. Directly in front of performers, but far enough back that your midsection is not being flattened against the stage, is the area for the most athletic, intense dancing. In this area, you will find the most skilled moshers and the sweatiest people in the building. Be very careful of this area, as this is where accidental punches are landed and other bodily injuries occur. The wings of the dance floor or viewing area are reserved for the groups of 2 to 10 people who stand shoulder to shoulder in a long line, hands in their pockets, and are swaying back and forth a little as the speakers are directly in front of them and they play music so loud as to push back the line and obliterate what little hearing capabilities these lads have left. This line is almost always composed of the male variety. Back to the center, past the intense dancers, the amount of dancing decreases as you travel towards the back wall at a rate of approximately 5 less dance moves per minute per row of humans. This is where you find people who dance with their hands, as if the artistic flexing and pointing of their fingers is what is keeping the power on, and where you find the people who dance only a little because they like it, or dance only a little because they really aspire to be the mosher seizuring violently, but haven't made the leap to full commitment yet. The back wall is protected by another line of shoulder-to-shoulder lads, similar to the ones next to the speakers, except this wall-protecting line are spaced apart a bit more, and they often talk to each other and don't sway as much because of the distance from the speakers. The back two corners of the dancing or viewing area is for the free thinkers who do not dance like most people. You could liken the movements to modern dance, the dancers being inspired by the spiritual quality or the invoked feelings of the music. Don't be surprised to see a male standing still, except for calculated twitching, next to a female on the floor, letting her arms imitate the lyrics like water. This is also the area where you may find the occasional swing dancing pair for the truly dedicated swing dancers. Past the dance floor are often tables for those whose heels hurt too much, or for those who feel no need to move rhythmically or move at all. Please be aware that these area descriptions are not set in stone and that there are outliers in each group. There may be a spastic head bopper in the back, and there may be a silent swayer directly in front of the lead singer. Part 2, Section C, at the end of the concert. At the end of the concert, if the musicians leave the stage, if you can get the majority of the audience to chant one more song, the musical group may return for an encore. Be aware that sometimes the encore is the best part of the concert. It can also be the worst, especially if the performers returned for an encore, mistakenly thinking the polite clapping was actually cheers for more. Once the performers have left the stage for good, please note that if you stay long enough, the band may come out to greet fans and sign various paraphernalia. If they don't do this, from personal experience, I've learned that if you stand in the rain in front of the band's van for 20 minutes, you will catch the band trying to enter their vehicle. Please note, I was only witnessing this. I was not the one actually doing this. I'm serious. Now that you've eaten a nutritious meal, been doused with the correct amount of personal good-smelling agent, and chosen the correct region to enjoy the concert from, you will leave the concert ecstatic after possibly meeting the band, and now own in your possession possibly a band t-shirt, CD, or sticker. Success!